Okay, this is a meeting of Sylvania City Council's Employee and Community Relations Committee. We are meeting to discuss the proposed ordinance regarding food trucks in downtown. Present are myself, Patrick Richardson, Chair, members of the committee, Katie Kathleen, Doug Hainup, and Brian McCann. We also have from City Council Lindsay Stow, we have Mayor Stow, and Leslie Brining, Kevin Aller, and Danny Fuller is here. I think I got everybody. To begin, everybody should have gotten the updated ordinance from Leslie. Leslie, can you maybe give a quick overview of what was changed from the first one to the second one? I know we probably all went over it, but just make sure we didn't miss anything, give us highlights.
Yes, absolutely. The primary change, well, there were a few changes that we made. The first one, I think, is reducing the application fee to $25. And that's for anybody who wants to operate in the city, either on private property or in the right-of-way, which Kevin can, I'll talk about in just a minute. If you want to operate in the right-of-way, you have to pay an additional $250 fee, which will hopefully help defray the cost of the street closure and things like that. I know we, at the last meeting, we also discussed some sort of sign-up system, and not to defer to Kevin again, but Kevin has some information on that, and he can talk about it, because Columbus uses a system and also provides an section for it, how to register, how to sign up, and how and what the fee should be. So Kevin has found some software that we can implement the same type of system. The other major thing, I think, with that we would change is that rather than designating specific spots, we have, there's mobile food vending court areas, which will be on Maplewood and then also on Main Street, but you the legislation delegates the authority to establish where those are to the service director, just because if a space isn't working out, if a specific space isn't working out on Main Street, we wouldn't necessarily want to have to come back to council. We have the third spot down, not the fourth spot down, or things like that. So I think if you want to establish a set number for each area, we can do that, but we want to have a little bit more flexibility, especially as we're first getting this established and not quite sure what the demand is going to be and where this, where they're going to want to.
So the mobile food vending court can change without an active council. Where that is does not need an active council.
Correct. And the legislation.
Yes, and the administration can say this is where it is, and it says where the public right of way is closed for vehicular traffic.
Correct.
So that would be closing a street that.
That lane of Maplewood.
Yeah.
The left lane of Maplewood.
And administration could say, well, now it's in front of the other side of Maplewood, or now it's wherever we can.
Okay, good. Yeah, yeah. If you want to, if you want to designate specific areas or say a number of spaces, I can certainly amend the legislation to include that. We're just trying to keep it as flexible as possible.
Okay.
Those are the primary differences.
Yeah, that's what I've highlighted as well. Kevin, do you want to give us an overview of the software that you're looking into? Cost and ease of use and all that stuff?
The program that I've kind of centered on is a program called SKEDA, S-K-E-E-D-A. The City of Columbus uses a different program, but it's much more involved. You can imagine City of Columbus has many more sites and just a larger operation than what we would have. And I think it's a little too cumbersome for our needs. This SKEDA software seems to fit our needs for our 3 to 5, 3 to 6, locations that we're going to have available for people to be able to set up. It's depending on how many sites we do have, it varies from either $3 to $5 a month. And it's really, it's a software where we will go in, we will identify the locations. we kind of talked, Danny Scott Hudson and I met the other day, we talked about the spaces in front of Edward Jones would be a good, possibly a good location for it. So let's call that site number one. We will put site number one into the software. And then John's truck or James' truck will go in and say, okay, I want site number one on Wednesday from 4 to 8. And so they put in, they go in, they pay their fee, and they reserve that spot.
Now that still requires them to be reserved that spot.
That's correct.
So then is the city or the administration prepared to somebody go out there at 3 o'clock and put out a cone, or how would that?
We those will be designated spots. They'll be designated food truck spots.
Permanently?
Yeah.
So you're talking about taking out those parking spots that are in front of Edward Jones. Are there two spots there?
There are two spots.
They're permanently removing them.
Yeah. The concept of going out and putting cones and all that, it's just not manageable.
No, I agree. That's interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, if you want spots on Main Street, it almost has to be reserved and they have to be set aside.
And it can't just be they go to the website and they pay for a spot on Main Street, and then when they pull into Main Street, they can just find whatever spot's open and park there?
No. I would prefer not to do that based on business wishes.
Gotcha. I understand that. This is kind of where it becomes a tough situation, because then now we're eliminating two spots, and the business situation of the businesses there, people that are parking to go into J&G's or wherever, whatever stores around there. And I mean, how many nights of the week or how many nights out of the month do we have food trucks? I don't know, a couple.
Yeah, I don't, you know, Monday through Thursday, I think the traffic would be extremely light. I don't see a lot of activity. Friday, Saturday is when your activity.
So could those spots be designated only for food trucks on weekends, or would it have to be an all the time thing?
We can do that. No, we can designate the weekend. That's what we just have to adjust some legislation or rules, maybe middle of the rules.
How about hours?
We had already, in our discussions, we had already indicated that we were going to make the hours 4 to 8. Just because we didn't want somebody coming in at 9 o'clock in the morning and tying up the shop all day. So that limits a little bit of your concerns by having the hours, you know, 4 to 8 or 5 to 9, whatever.
Yeah.
We had talked about 4 to 8. So.
The lunch hour is not an hour that food trucks like.
We typically don't, you know, Sauter, every now and then, Grumpy's or something would come into Sauter's, but
yeah.
That's rare.
Rare.
But that wouldn't apply because now they're on Sauter's property, right?
That's
that would be fine. They could come into Sauter's parking lot anytime they wanted.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess in my mind, this is where it is tricky. And I know that the parking on Main Street has been a concern of many people. But I also don't want to discourage the food trucks. So I guess we can figure out. If that's the way the committee wants to go, we can figure out the details of that times and when would they be. And then if it's every Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, how does it look? Sorry, I'm going to switch to that. So then it's a Thursday night or a Friday night and there are no food trucks and those spots are just empty. If somebody parks there, are they being ticketed or what? How does that work?
No, we would not ticket. It would just be, if a truck came in and they had that spot reserved, you know. First of all, if they came in at, let's say, you know, right at 4 o'clock, we'll call for food trucks and say, they'll give people a few minutes to pull out of there. There's somebody in there.
Sure.
But then, you know, if someone, once they pull out, then they'll be able to utilize the spot. I think there will be some, you know, there will be some patience that's going to have to be involved. And us kind of see how it works.
And you had mentioned that being area one. Have you talked of different, I mean, we talked about partial closure of Maplewood and all that, and
Yeah, we're, I'm still working through the partial closure of Maplewood. That, from a service director standpoint, that, and safety, right, that brings a little bit of heartburn. But we'll, you know, it's, the other side of that is, you know, initially we had talked about keeping it away from our brick and mortar restaurants. In closing that section, we're putting food trucks right at the front door. So that will have an impact on their food sales. And of course the other side is the, you know, having a, closing the street off for vehicular traffic. Maplewood is not an overly wide street. I mean, we have the same problem on Maplewood that we have on most of our streets. It's just not overly wide. And even when you close that lane off, if somebody were to park in front of the credit union, which they do routinely, even though there's no parking, traffic is shut off. There's no way in front of it. So there's some operational concerns that we're trying to work through on that. So we're trying to make it work, but there are several problems that come with that.
Okay, so but the legislation we need to designate where and when the specific food truck spots are for the software program, and then...
Well, it doesn't have to.
Or, I guess, in this version that we're talking about.
We could leave it to a rule.
We could leave it to what?
We leave it to a rule, you know, that the service director would extend. I mean, what we have here, it doesn't designate the spots. It just says how you register.
Yeah.
And it leaves. I mean, that's how I read it, right?
So let me just get this straight. So we're going to put up a sign by the designated spot. And the sign is going to say food truck parking only Monday all week, 4 to 8. So if a car parks there, we're not going to ticket them unless a food truck is already signed up.
Well, we probably won't ticket them at all. Our normal operation is going to be give them a few minutes to get it moved. If it's not moved, then the food truck will probably end up calling us.
Us meaning?
The city.
But they would have to call the police. Because you're not going to be there. I mean,
yeah,
city administration hours are till 5 o'clock or 4:30 or whatever, and the food truck's probably going to get there once you're gone.
I don't see a food truck coming in at 7 o'clock.
Maybe not. But a food truck could easily come there after the city office is closed.
Yeah,
it's possible.
Yeah,
and then that's sort of. I'm trying to visualize this in practicality when it's actually put into effect. And
because then
I'm not sure.
Let's just get to the end of this. So the food truck pulled up, and then there's a car parked there, and it's 6 o'clock, and they want to pull in. So then they're going to call the police, and then the guy that parked the car there is probably inside the five having a beer or more. So how do we find that guy? Are we prepared to tow them?
It would have to go to police. They would probably, I don't know. So they could run the plate and see if they can find the person. I've got to think through that.
Like all of a sudden it's getting messy, and then an hour later he's missed part of his dinner hour. Yeah, because they don't right now.
Yeah, right now it's what is it, 2 hour, 1 hour parking?
You can sign no parking for 360, don't park it.
But people are used to seeing that, okay, it's 1 hour parking on Main Street, but oh, nobody's going to enforce that anyway. And then people park there for 3 days, like you pointed out before. That's what I'm getting to. We need to shift into something new where people read the sign.
The only other thing
or we enforce them.
what we do on typically, to more, on other parking problems, is first time warning, second time ticket. But now you're ticketing someone that's come to eat at one of our.
Yeah.
It's true, but then we don't want to, so then the food truck, they just signed up for the first time, and then they're all of a sudden like, well, that sucked. I mean, we get here, and now I have to call the police. Like, I don't want it to be bad for the person that parked there, but I don't want it to be bad for the food truck that just signed up and filled out all the applications. I mean, I want, and that's probably not even possible for everybody to be happy here.
Not, but.
Nope.
Everybody's not happy right now either, so it's,
I just wanted to somehow to think that there's a smooth but not too complicated process. I don't want the whole police force to be out there in a tow truck just.
No, that's not what we want. No.
But I want people to read the signs and know that we enforce them.
That would not be good. That'd be a bad look. So yeah, this is an issue. I'm not sure the answer.
Well, the easy thing is to do nothing and just ban food trucks.
No, the easy thing to do here is to close Maplewood.
You're either going to have to work through the, you're going to have some trade-offs, or you're going to have nothing.
The easy thing to do here is to close Maplewood, just that, and put tables out there and put the section facing the Reed parking lot, however many spots are right there. Those are food truck spots. And put the tables out and make it a food truck court. Our downtown really isn't that big, and that's really the center of it. Just try it out for the summer. If it doesn't work, we'll scrap it.
We're not.
But we're not what?
We should not be putting on a table. That's not. One, we don't have it. Two, that's just not. Streets aren't created to become food courts.
Well, I'm just calling it the.
I don't agree with shutting Maplewood down. You're affecting 3,000 people a day for something that's going to happen two nights a week.
3,000 people drive on that small part of Maplewood every day?
Every day.
3,000 cars.
A lot more people.
I am also concerned about closing it down for the credit union. People are used to parking illegal in front of the credit union, or at least getting in there. Wolf dressers, people pull in there. I think that is not clear. But I'm going to go back to an idea we talked about during the previous meeting or the council meeting. Is it possible to have to close the westbound traffic only when there is a food truck that might be going to park there? Have a barrier that can be set out there, perhaps by the DSA, perhaps by us. If there's a reservation for a food truck, we go out and we close westbound Maplewood only to avoid this conflict. I know you haven't been thinking about that one, but that seems to be the middle ground here. I do like the idea of bunching the food trucks up there, putting them where the power is, but I can't deny the fact that the road's too narrow to do it.
Yeah, that would be something I definitely want to set up. Because they're going to need protection on the lane side, and also to make sure that the closure is set up properly. I just, somebody goes through a barricade, it's not the SA
yeah.
They're going to go looking at it. It's going to be a city.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it will be sporadic. It will be there some Friday nights and some Saturdays. I'm not sure that it's a good arrangement. I think these three spots make more sense to me because they're already parking areas. Two of them are pretty close to the plug-in power. The one on the west side, if it's a low power demand, it can plug into a street light. They'll probably blow that circuit though.
Mm-hmm. That's a possibility. They may have to work with some of the nearby businesses for the whole power.
Mr. Allen, I have a few questions about the cost of the food. Mm-hmm. So one of them was that we don't want to have the food trucks focused on businesses. I might wonder if in terms of Edward Jones, this is really that much further away. I mean, from J&G's Edward Jones is just
it's just across the curb cut.
And then I think it might come across the water connection as a challenge. There are multiple food trucks in the water connection, and that, I think, only goes to the on the north side of the Now, there's an opportunity, Maplewood is, there's a lot of potential spots there, and it could be that if we just can't handle the possibility of the credit union people parking on the street where even though they're not supposed to, it might become they park on the east side of the north side of Maplewood. I'm saying a lot of sides are taken, but if the food trucks are closer to Main Street, people who need to park for the credit union park closer to the summit. I'm trying to think through what the barriers were and if there's ways that we can balance that a little bit more so it doesn't seem quite so impossible.
If you remember our first draft of the legislation, it actually said no food trucks within 500 feet of a brick and mortar restaurant. That got it off the Main Street and able to work that cheaply. What we heard is council didn't, some members of council didn't like that, and so, you know, we revised that. Edward Jones, you know, it's obviously closer than 500 feet, but it's, you know, it would be in parking spaces versus closing down the road.
Bill? Bill, would you, there's a man with a camera out there.
Oh, I will see.
Just to interject, I know that there was a conversation with J&G's last week that Danny had with Nick, and he, I mean, was in favor because he knows he would sell more beer.
But he also,
but he wouldn't.
They will probably impact his group sales. Said that it will probably benefit to my beer sales, but it will definitely have an impact on my group sales.
I mean, I don't know what the capacity is of our downtown restaurants, but I mean, any night there's a food truck there. I mean, there's a. I've had to wait 2 hours to get into inside the front porch.
Exactly.
And I mean, it kind of feels like there's a lot of room for other things to come in without it impacting. That's anecdotal. I haven't run studies on that, but I guess I'm not as worried about cutting into the sales of those restaurants just because it seems like they're doing all the business they can do and then some on a Redbird Art Walk night or something like that. I mean, if restaurants got a 2 hour wait, I don't think the food truck's going to cut into their nightly sales. Maybe, but I don't know.
When does the credit union close on a Friday? Are they open till 6? Danny, do you know?
Credit union?
No.
And they do have a, the credit union does have a parking lot.
I don't know.
And when would the food trucks be setting up? Do you think?
Well, they could set up.
I would say to any of your options, like, what's the risk in taking a risk or trying to run? If you close Maplewood and J&G's experienced the worst pizza sale in history, well, then you know that's a major tough bummer. But they may have the best beer sales in the beer sales they've ever had in that way, too. But we can't always think about just J&G's as well. I wonder if, instead of like shredding this onion, if someone can just say we need to take a leap of faith on one option and experience it for a period of time and see if it even works. I agree with Patrick in the sense that it becomes crazy when someone can't just come in and park, but ironically, Patrick, like that was almost the more cumbersome issue because you're going to start running into business saying, I didn't call the food truck in front of my business. So, the solution, Kevin, is to say these two parking spots are for food trucks and deal with how the parking situation arises after it happens. But none of these solutions are really great, none of them are really bad, and we have a really, really tiny downtown. So, we have to adjust based on the fact that we have a really tiny downtown with really narrow streets and say, what is the best solution for a period of time to see how it works? Because we're all right. We haven't been inundated with food trucks like crazy. We don't know what putting up food trucks are. They may start, you know, attracting more food trucks. We because now we have signs that say allocated for food trucks. We don't know what's going to happen in the process. But none of the solutions are perfect and none of them are horrible.
Yeah, and I agree. And I just want to make sure that, you know, this started because you came and the issues with people parking food trucks on Main Street without coming through DSA. And I just want to make sure whatever solution we come up with isn't going to create even more problems than we had when you came to us in the first place. And that's sort of where my head's at. This is, and I agree that sometimes you do need to take a leap of faith and just try things. And I think that's worked in the past for some things. Just want to talk out, you know, the realities of, do we want a tow truck towing away a car in front of a bunch of people on a Redbird Art Walk night? And I would say no. And then the food trucks mags, they don't have a spot in the reserve one and all that. So if we can figure out how to get, I don't know, get past these and what the legislation needs to say, then I think we're on to something. But I'm not sure what the answer to that is.
Patrick?
Yes.
Just one quick thing, just to touch base on, because I talked to all the businesses on the interview, and specifically the more concerned about closing the street of the east side of Maplewood, where Wolf Dresser's office and the credit union, they are fine with the temporary Friday night type thing. They're fine with that, but any other type of closure, like we did with the west side of Maplewood last year, they're dead against that, for that side of the street, more so than J&G, because J&G's on the corner. But back to J&G, Lindsay and I were at a meeting where they were at, they were asking for that part of the street to be closed. That's when we reached out to the other entity, so I just wanted you to know that that's what okay. Businesses were against.
So, Kevin, as far as the traffic, I mean, as far as closing the whole street, let's just start there. Is the traffic implications, is that the biggest concern? Is that the biggest objection?
Yeah, I think the traffic implications of everybody that uses that on a daily basis, as well as access to, credit union, the law office, and the REAPs, the parking lots.
Because the other option would be Monroe or Erie, if you go around to one of those two and add a few minutes. And do we see, when we closed down Maplewood last summer, I mean, do we see big impacts with traffic? I know it's a different place, but I'm just curious, if were there any negative effects of that after we closed that down?
We got a few emails and phone calls on the why are you doing this and that kind of stuff that you're going to get anytime you change something.
Yeah.
I think in the summer, the one thing that helped a little bit was they were able to use Judy Young because school's not in session and that kind of stuff. So that a lot of that traffic that would typically go through Maplewood was coming to that point and coming down. A lot of the other traffic that typically comes from the far west and then would ultimately come down to Erie to Maplewood, they were staying on Erie and going through. So the daily traffic, they make adjustments. They have it.
Sure.
So that's about it.
But you foresee this side closing down, if we hypothetically close down the whole street, you foresee much larger problems than we had last summer with the west side.
I don't foresee. I just don't know why you impact. I don't know. To impact 3,000 cars a day for something that's going to happen on Friday and Saturday night, to me, that doesn't equal out. That doesn't balance out, I guess. But that's me.
Sure. And then, so if we have the designated food trucks on food truck spots, let's go back to the hypothetical up in front of Edward Jones, and there's two spots. In the legislation, there would be no other way for a food truck to park in public right of way. Or so that would eliminate, like the Grumpy's truck that came last week, that could not happen. In any, no matter if there's no permits or forms or going through DSA or otherwise, that could be eliminated.
Correct.
And then, is there, and this might be a software question, what is the turnaround? Does it allow for any kind of spontaneity, last minute? Could a food truck decide that at 3:30, because it was supposed to rain and now it hasn't, or there was an event that was canceled and now they're free, could they decide at 3:30 to drive over to Sylvania and set up shop and sell, but without, is there enough, or does it take a day to process this stuff, or how does that work?
They would have to have already been paid the annual.
Sure. So let's assume they're annually with the health and safety, all that. Yes.
And I will verify that through these discussions. But my understanding is they would go in basically pay the daily permit, and then we have access to reserve the site. And it's basically immediate. So there's not, they don't have to do it 24 hours in advance or something.
Yeah.
It's open, they can do it.
Yeah.
It's open. They are, one of the things that we're taking a look at is, you know, being able to, over a 2-week period, somebody can't be in here more than 3 days a week or something like that.
Sure.
So that somebody doesn't
hit it every day.
Hit it every day. Yeah.
Okay. So this will be allowing for 2 food trucks in our downtown, or really anywhere in the city. In public right of way, we're going to have 2 food trucks anywhere in the city of Sylvania, which is right there in those spots, and that's it.
Yep.
At any time. We can never have more than 2. Unless it's a special event.
Unless it's a special event, or
Maple and Main, shut down the street, that kind of stuff. We can have more on the street. It's a special event.
Right.
And is Redbird Art Walks, is that a special event? Yes?
No. It's a downtown event. They fill up a permit. If they are having food trucks come in as part of their event, then it would be an event.
So if the food trucks, if Fiddlesticks wants to bring in a food truck on a First Friday Art Walk, because that is an event, they can do that and put that in front of their store. Or who would they go through? How does that work?
That would have to be coordinated through the DSA
because it's DSA's event.
And we can put notices on our program that it tells the food trucks, Redbird Art Fest, downtown. Redbird Art Walk, please contact DSA.
So what we're talking about then, so this is now, what we're talking about in front of Edward Jones is for your regular, whatever, Wednesday night or a night like tonight, Friday night, where there's nothing special going on.
Right.
So Redbird night, it has to go through Danny, the DSA, and you guys handle it, and you can put them wherever. You can put them in front of your art gallery, what have you.
Yeah, that opens up the door for a lot of people's full set. They want to have a food truck right in front of their space. All they have to do is coordinate with us.
Okay.
And they're there. And that's typically what you're going to have the first Friday, or the lot of food trucks.
The food trucks are mostly going to be there then. Yes, yeah. No doubt.
And really, I feel like this is all to protect the ability to have some say over what goes on, so that I can coordinate food trucks.
And that's how this all started, was to have some centralized place of coordination on this. And that's all fine. I want to make sure this isn't getting too complicated. Now we have this process for other nights. If it's not First Friday and you can only go there, then if it's the First Friday, you got to go through somebody else, and then you can park wherever they say. And I don't know. I'd love to hear opinions from
you. I assume that on when there's a special event, our spots would still be available.
No.
They would be available, but they would be reserved through the DSA.
Just like if I was Fall Festival or Big Horn Maine, you know, food trucks in a particular spot.
So, on those 2 designated spots that we have, it can't be scheduled through the city when there's an event in downtown.
Correct.
I think that's a bad idea.
Well,
DSA will just, they know that those 2 spots would be available. I mean, as long as, I don't like the idea of shutting off, starting up our registration system. I'd like to be consistent
that.
Can I see that little warning in consideration of that one?
I'm sorry?
Can I give you the perspective of Maple and Main under that scenario?
Sure.
So with that, Maple and Main, we, in a week or two in advance, the layout where all the vendors are going to go, raising the entirety of Main Street. And for us to carve out those two spots from this overall plan becomes very restrictive. And even trying to coordinate access is a big function to try to get all of the artists in their right spots to unload their trucks or whatever at the same time, and then to try to have a food truck vendor show up during 4 to 8 during that is nearly impossible or would be very disruptive for pedestrians right there. So maybe there's something about if the street is closing, maybe you can't have an open spot.
Yeah, because it, like Maple and Main, we would actually just have to close the spots because
yeah.
We wouldn't
okay.
Close.
You could go in though and block those on those events.
Yeah, I would think that's a collective file for the program that you have a first Friday where you can pop up as a direction to bring your trucks.
That's kind of what I was saying. I was saying, you know, it would come up for them if that Friday is closed due to regular on wall. Please contact DSA if you're still interested or something.
Yeah.
Just to say that what we have, especially event situation works great and we haven't had problems. I think what we're looking at here is to avoid a potential problem of more trucks showing up when there's a special event, whether it's the art fair, the fall festival, or the Redbird Friday nights. Those are special events and we just don't want a bandit showing up and saying, hey, there's a big crowd there and I'm just going to show up, because that takes away from the organizing entity for that special event.
So if that's the case, then do we need legislation regulating food trucks on non-special event nights?
If you would have the potential, let's say on the second Friday of the month, you
yeah.
have 10 food trucks on Main Street.
Sure.
If that's not a problem, then I don't really need legislation there. That's
so, I'm not sure. I would think the free market would dictate that if 10 food trucks are there and there's capacity, they want to make money, so they're going to come if there's that many people. Maybe. I don't. I'm not sure how I think about it.
I think that you do need the guidelines so you don't have other people showing up, but it would only be in effect in non-special event times, is what I'm saying.
Okay. And is this,
you'll find out though that a food truck on a Tuesday night when there's not many people around anything in the middle of summer, they're not going to come. But like
yeah.
tonight, they could come. It's not a first Friday, but it's a Friday in Sylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And if three of them went through the process and found the spots, that could work.
So yesterday, on a rainy Thursday, Outlaw Barbecue food truck was in the Credit Union parking lot. I don't know if they were busy or not, but they assumed or they thought they were going to be busy to come to Sylvania for lunch. And I know there's a food truck fair on Mother's Day Sunday at the church where the farmer's market was. So I think, the food trucks are discovering Sylvania and that they have customers here. And so I do feel like we are going to have a swell of interested food trucks, and how exciting for us.
Yeah, and that's sort of another concern of mine is I don't want it to seem as though Sylvania is discouraging food trucks. I said this last time too, but I think having food trucks in Sylvania is great. I think it's indicative of a thriving downtown, and I would hate to stifle that.
So to get the food pet, so they have this whole packet that they have to submit. How long, there's kind of a lot of stuff in it. And a lot of checking, I feel like, on our part. Like when somebody submits it, how long do you think that would take for them to get the written response that, yes, you are good to go?
For the annual license, mm-hmm. the first time around, it's probably because we're going to have a
right.
First time around is probably going to take a little bit, but I would say no more. The background checks and that kind of stuff, those take time. That's where the mercy of BCI for those. Those will typically take anywhere from a week to 2 weeks. But the first time around is going to take some time. The renewals, assuming that you still have the same people, should be a pretty quick process. Couple of terms.
And then the contact person, like, so when somebody's checking on their, hey, what happened to my permit, are they calling Tim Burns?
Okay, yeah.
One other question I had was, so for private, so for private property food trucks, I have something, I'm trying to find it. But let's say I wanted a food truck in my driveway, so I was having friends over. Is that, they would need the annual health and safety registration from the city, right? Even if it's in my private property?
If they're not charging, I don't know.
Legislation says.
Is that for reason?
Yeah, it said somewhere in there. I'm trying to find it. I highlighted it once.
I think you don't.
It just, for the private property, the intent, I was thinking more, and I think Columbus was thinking more of the Sauer's truck and Grumpy's,
sure,
not necessarily in a residential area. If it's a one-time, and I know in Monroe we have kind of this little hot dog truck that goes to parties, and I don't know that that would, they're probably already meet the license requirements of the city and can operate wherever, kind of like an ice cream truck does.
Yeah.
For a private event on private property, I think we have, they, we would like them to require, to comply with the annual requirement, but it's a, I don't think there's anything specific they need to do for,
okay,
for the city in that regard.
The legislation just says they have to be,
yeah,
registered.
Registered, right.
Yes, and that was in there somewhere, but yes.
769-16.
Yes, yeah, there it is. Yeah, unless otherwise exempted.
Yeah.
Which is what, it says that under A, hold on, I highlighted this, I must have had a question.
About what the exempted.
Yeah, what is that, exactly, what does that sentence exactly mean?
I think that is where we get into Kevin's discretion, as the service and safety director. You know, and that would be the private event in a residential property, unless we start getting, but we do currently have a zoning thing about a food truck.
Yes.
And parking and residential.
That's different than, I'm having an ice cream truck because I'm having a birthday party.
Exactly, exactly, so.
Yeah, that's a whole other kind of one. Okay, so I guess I'd love to hear the committee's thoughts on the, I mean, it sounds like what we have is options to either designate food truck spots in front of Edward Jones, two food truck spots that on non-special event nights, you can register through a software program the city's going to manage to pick a spot and go there. On special events, including First Friday Art Walks, you register through the DSA, and the DSA can put you anywhere in the public right of way. And there's not a limit to the number on DSA as long as they're all approved by them. Is that correct? That's option one. And then option two is to close, partial close Maplewood and have that be, it'll pretty much be the same thing we just talked about, except now that's a designated spot instead of in front of Edward Jones. Is that, just to recap, is that what we talked about?
Are those the only two spots? The like the spots that you picked, is it just,
those are the two spots that we did.
Just Edward Jones, nowhere else?
I talked, well, then one pretty much across the street, in front of our house, and, sorry,
does it do it real quick? Would we be able to maybe instead of the spot in front of, going north of the park, but
yeah. So, we looked at something that we did that year ago. There's, if council wants another spot, we could go further to the south on the east side of Main Street, more down by the concepts out in that area.
that would be a good spot, for the, in other words, putting it right in front of Chandler's, or, Christian's favorite, don't think there would be a spot.
And does the legislation, it does not need to spell out where the spots are, correct? If we can say the spots are up to the administration, cities?
The legislation presently says that the Director of Public Service will establish the spots.
Got it.
That's 769-30.
So we know Fuller, our house, is happy with one in front of her space. But, what about?
When we ran through, you know, probably all of these scenarios, and it's like, the reality is, we're gonna make some people happy, and some other people may not be so happy.
Do we, are we gonna say something to Edward Jones before we designate that spot? Have we talked to them, or?
I have not yet.
No.
And I think, I mean, as far as, you know, taking part, we're not open in the evenings, I think when, mostly when food trucks would be here, they're closed, that would make more sense. Danny, do you have an opinion on, I'd love to hear from the point of DSA, on those two options we just talked about, you know, either which space do you think it would be better in front of Edward Jones, would be better doing the half closure of Maplewood, and then are you happy if this satisfies what you came to us originally for about you controlling special events permitting?
Yeah. But I'll answer the second part of that, and that does help satisfy the second part. And the second part, the real issue, it's kind of fun a little bit watching you guys have this conversation. In a small committee, we be having this conversation all the time, where are we going to put this stuff, what are we going to do, good enough for this space. So you're getting a little bit of appreciation of some of the energy that's been put into the last 5 years of coordinating it. So this does help that situation. I talked to you guys about not knowing how many food shops to ask for on First Friday anymore because other people outside of us are bringing in food shops. And I didn't want to put 5 food truck pressure on our restaurant.
Sure.
So, yes, the second part of this does alleviate that and helps us have a process that makes it more formal for our guests as well as the first one, I think it was so a little bit up in the air because everyone has made extremely good points and that we haven't gotten a while to get comfortable with our food trucks. So to close anything seems cumbersome or seems wild because we don't really know how you utilize it will be and it really makes sense. I like the corn park situation because I think it is right there by electrical. I think it will help boost more synergy in that center location. It does avoid any complications with people complaining about parking and or putting a food truck in front of a business when they don't want one. However, I also like the fact that we would have some food trucks on Main Street as well. So I'm not sure if I'm giving you a good answer, but
that's helpful. It is.
I think that right now, I think it's hard to even make a decision because we haven't had just massive events going on. Where I think once you start putting up signs designated for food trucks, you're going to get more food trucks. Either way.
Sure.
I also think, though, that the Maplewood closing situation could be marketed on a higher level so that it is used as often as it could be. So if we say, we're going to close this part of Maplewood, and it's going to be designated for food trucks. And we do want you to come down and be a food truck in downtown Sylvania. And
yeah.
Call it Food Truck Alley or whatever you want to call it. We're now creating something to take place there quite often. Where I don't know if we have the same level of marketing if it's just on the street.
I agree with that. And I think it could be, I mean, the closure last year on Maplewood was used even without food trucks there. It was heavily used because the weather was nice and the restaurants were full and it was overflow space. And I think there are a lot of advantages to that in itself. And, I mean, on your survey, the, what was the biggest response was more seating, right? That was like the number one needed thing, was more outdoor seating for enjoying Dora. And this might be a discussion for a separate meeting on that, but that's, I think that's something worth looking into. So if we pass the legislation that states, how it states it, that the director of public service will designate the food truck areas, we pass it that way, Kevin, is this something you guys would discuss at staff meeting? Where are we going to put the food? And then you guys determine and tell council so we can pass the legislation without knowing exactly where that area is going to be?
Yeah, it would be my hope that by the time we, not at Monday meeting, of course, but by the first meeting in May, that we kind of have that locked down.
Sure.
That we can have the rules and make sure that they tie in with the ordinance, with the legislation, and that kind of stuff, so that you'll be able to see everything. At least in draft, if there's something that you don't like about the rules.
And then, would the software system for reserving for food trucks, is that going to be the same software like to reserve on a first Friday night through DSA? Are they going in the same system, or is that
something that we can talk about? It may even be a situation where we can give them some of the things we can utilize that same system to reserve their spots for the current event. So.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of ease of use. I'm just thinking of ease of use if I were a food truck owner, and it's like, well, I was down here last Friday, and I used this software system, and then Danny makes your own software, and then it's like, well, wait, now there's a different software system because this is the first Friday, not a third Friday, and I could see that being a little
complicated. I think Danny just kind of break things down, and yeah, it's I would. If all we're dealing with is one night a week, we can probably get by on just writing things down.
Sure.
My concern is that we start getting 2, 3, 4 nights a week, a truck here, a truck there, and I guess that just becomes too cumbersome because it's not. Tim has plenty of, I have plenty of other things for Tim to do, but I'm afraid that, if he doesn't catch John's call, and then when he calls down back, he doesn't get an answer. He leaves the voicemail from him, and he gets Jane's call, who actually came in after John's.
Sure.
Then you get into those battles. The scheduling software is really all that.
As far as members of the committee, whether the members of the committee feel comfortable with the legislation as written? Would anybody have any recommended changes or amendments to it?
I wanted to ask about the enforcement.
Sure. Talk about that, yeah.
The request for how much of the charge.
The way that the legislation was drafted that you looked at last week was Perry Bergen Hudson, and that imposed a civil fine. Columbus makes it a criminal offense. So I put the criminal provision in this one, but I wanted to get the committee's thoughts on, do you want to handle it more from a civil perspective and just impose fines, or do you want to have it be like our zoning violations, go through that process?
If somebody complains, so you don't send somebody out until somebody complains, or when there's going to be someone that's patrolling it?
I think this is going to be more visible if we will have control of the likely scenario is somebody shows up for a spot that they didn't register for. That's kind of what I'm thinking. And Perrysburg and Hudson did say if you got 2 violations in a year, if you do that twice, then you don't get your permit suspended for the rest of the year. So,
but the actual person that's going to go out there to make sure.
It would probably be, like you said.
Is that the police or is
that? It will probably be the police will be.
And that'll be part of their, that'll be part of their job that night.
So this also covers just showing up?
Correct. Yeah.
So that's the question we committed is, do we want a civil, criminal, or?
It's not criminal.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to it, but it does seem a little harsh to say it's a criminal offense and now misdemeanor in the first degree.
Yeah, then they couldn't pass the background check the next year.
I kind of like this having, you know, the fines, having a criminal, the civil penalty, and if you don't comply with the provisions twice, then your license is suspended and you can revoke the privileges to register for state.
And then do we put a dollar amount?
Yeah, well, I know there's a lot of discussion about that, so I didn't just take a stab at it.
And this, I agree with you, I prefer a civil fine rather than a criminal charge. And I'll pick $150.
Does that go with the person or the food truck though? Or the incorporated business? Who's banned?
Whoever has the license. That will be whoever has the registration. So you've got a road driver who doesn't know the process, then that's kind of the business's responsibility, the food truck operator's responsibility to make sure that.
So that food truck could come back if that guy wasn't with it?
The vehicle itself would be.
Yeah.
Got it.
Right.
Then that guy could come back with a different food truck.
Right.
Okay.
But he'd still have to go through the process and get the background check. And if it's the same guy, he would have the, he would have this information from the previous truck.
Okay. So the committee seems to think it's a civil, not criminal, and recommends a $150 fine per violation. On second violation, your privileges are revoked for a year. Is that what we said?
I recommend.
Okay.
I don't have any strong feelings about it either way. I don't care.
Okay, 250, you got that.
250, sold.
So, this.
Yeah, comment. I don't think it'll ever get to that. I think it's just that stick that you have.
Sure.
You don't ever want that to happen. That's so you can say, look, you can leave or you're going to be fine, you're going to leave. So you. It's good that you need to have that, but I don't think you're ever going to need to enforce it.
And can that be posted on the side?
Could we? You put anything on the sign?
Yeah.
I'll see. That might get kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, you parked in New York City?
Yeah,
we could just.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah.
Going back to that 3,000 car count on Maplewood, so whatever day you counted, four of them was probably me. I mean, because that's like, I go down that way all the time, and I'm sitting at Maplewood, and the light's red, and there's no right turn on red, so I'm like, oh, I can either go straight or right. And I just, it's a random decision. It doesn't even really matter to me. And even coming back, I'm going, okay, I can go straight, or I can turn on Summit and then take a left. Again, random. Oh, there's three cars in front of me. I think I'll just turn right. I mean, I'm going to get home either way. Like, there's no inconvenience either way. So I didn't need to go down Maplewood. I could have just, it would have taken me the same amount of time, but I go that way so many times. And it's like, oh, I think I'll just turn right today. Like, I don't think it's as big of a deal as we think it is. I mean, because that is like my intersection in my neighborhood, and I'm there all the time.
Well, there are close, the detours aren't very long.
Right.
I think that's, you know, fortunately we're not putting people miles off. I mean, it's, you go up the area of Monroe.
It's inconsequential.
I don't think you're adding more than a few minutes to anybody's anything, closing it. And I do think there needs to be a bigger discussion about streetscapes. And I know, Kevin, you had mentioned, you know, streets are, I can't remember exactly what you said, but something about they're meant for, pedestrians and the debate about that, and I think as we look towards the future of our streetscape, we had a lot of success last summer with closing it down and having picnic tables out there, and there was clearly a need for it. We've done community surveys that have indicated there's a need for it, need for extra seating, and I think to do it there, and I mean essentially if you're closing down that section of Main Street, you're just extending that park. You're just doubling the size of that park or whatever the factor is of that park, and that, that creates a lot more space for people to hang out.
People.
I think it's worth talking about. I like the idea.
And if you're thinking about designing your city around people, not cars, you would give more room to people and seating. Just a little bit of a spin.
Bill, you mentioned earlier when you talked to the business on Maplewood that they wouldn't object to being the western part of that east part of Maplewood. In other words, in front of the mini park or something, closing that, but provide, but allow access to the credit union in vehicles and the Wolf Drescher with vehicles from the east.
I never talked to them about a one-way scenario.
Well, let's talk about closing it. Let's.
Well, closing, they're okay with closing like on a Friday night.
Okay.
Again, I think that's the.
So that was. That's not a permanent closure. That's a weekend closure or something like that, which means putting up and taking down barricades and moving tables out of the way. And
the moving tables is an issue, but I mean, I have no idea the cost of this, but downtown Toledo has a street that sometimes flows, sometimes not, and they have barricades that come out of the ground. It's the street right there behind the ballpark. St. Clair, yeah, where the Fleetwoods is. And
but then you need the benches to come out of the ground, too.
The city doesn't do that.
Okay, so could our Redwood Arts District do that?
They want to apply for it. And we haven't had any interest from them in doing so.
Do you have any ballpark how much those barricades cost to come up? I don't know if it's 100,000 or 10. I have no idea.
We're talking low thousands.
Okay.
Those, I think, if we install the bollards that get flipped up or raised up or whatever, those I think should be. I think that's something that the city should install those,
sure,
to make sure that they're done right and that we can use it for anything. But the weekly or daily, in the case of bollards, flipping them up and down, that is the district, the business is downtown to take care of that.
Yeah, I mean, that could be something to think about, and that could be good. And there's still the question of who's putting out tables and chairs if we do that, unless it's bring your own chair kind of situation, which, yeah, it was. I mean, last summer when we would go, Kylie and I would go to Maplewood closure, and I mean, often all the seating was full. So we started to, when we would walk there, we'd each have a folding chair and walk over there, and it was great, and we did that a lot. So I think that's an option, and I don't know if this is more of a streets committee thing, but I'd like to look into it. I'd like to look into the possibility of closures there and giving our pedestrians in our downtown more outdoor seating, as the survey indicated that we have need.
I have a question for Bill. When you talked to the credit union about closing the street, did they get that we would close it past their driveway so they could still have access from Summit to pull into their parking lot? I mean, that wouldn't be impacted. They'd still be able to pull into their parking lot. And so Reeb would, too, if we closed it just short of where the Reeb driveway is.
I talked to the folks that didn't like that. Like coming in from one side, they like the street to be open during their business hours. So they weren't really open to that, but they're open to that temporary closure. They're all for that, like a Friday night thing. Or once in a while, if there was another night, you had some event, they're definitely agreeable to that. But yeah, that coming in one way, just that they were both against that.
So it sounds like there's two options that are possible. And with the sort of needs that we're seeing in the survey, is that either it would be a temporary closure of the north and south, but on the western side of the street, just on the weekends, or something like that, or whether it would be more valuable or fitting to close that northern part, perhaps in a more prominent version, so there's less of the moving of cables and other things. I think something that might play into that is, Kevin, do you know a little bit more about the way, like, out of that 3,000, how many people are going in certain direction, or do we know what time to say? Because if there's only 500 people going west, then that's really doesn't seem very,
Right, but sort of look at the traffic concept that we have, and we don't, we didn't get directional counts, we got hourly counts, so typically we'll get directional, they didn't do directional. Most of that is in the north, most of that, I shouldn't say north, most of that is in the earlier part of the day, the evening traffic, and that's why when I was talking to you, I said, seeing most of the traffic is eastbound versus westbound. Because I think what we're doing is we're getting more traffic that's using Maplewood. So if it's coming down here, you use your Maplewood. And then in the afternoon, they either stay open the road or they're going to Gary or something like that, and they'll get the western counts. So that's a little bit of an assumption on my part. I think it's accurate, but I don't have.
Can you get a count done to help with that? I don't know what the cost of time of those things are, but I mean, I would kind of lean towards it would be nice to have sort of a semi more permanent space for a period of time where we see if this is something that could be well used. I mean, maybe part of this number inside we set aside for trucks, and maybe part of it we set aside for speeding. And there's more consistency, I think, for the community to understand and adapt to this could be over a weekend, this part of it, but I can see the weekend and this part of it working well. I guess I just kind of lean towards the other because it seems like it works better for the traffic, it works better for understanding it, and it you can actually have something more permanent to make it so that's more likely that the zone would be more beneficial for the people who would be there. Because I could see if the food trucks, let's say, are further east, on the north side of Maplewood, and then we have sort of a more common seating on the western side, that would help benefit a little bit more with J&G and Incentive 5, having even more seating outside, especially for using yours, since that's one of the major concerns from the survey. I guess I'm just trying to think through how do we get, it just seems like everything we're talking about, we're talking about we just need more data to help decide what is possible, and a little bit of a motion to try something different, but also we don't want to cause confusion at the same time. But it's tough to predict the future, but we do know that one of the challenges right now is there's not much seating, and it's tough to get food trucks to come down here if they don't, if there isn't a thing that's kind of driving. And I'm not like, ready for the first truck, and then where are you going to sit? Or what are you going to go to? There is a property, you're going to get your food, and you're going to set up a table with a friend.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious more about the traffic, because it seems like a permanent one-way thing would be safer than sometimes it's a one-way, and we have these temporary boundaries that change it, but it's unknown. I'm not on the committee.
No, it's great. I like the input, and I think the survey you did give us a lot of insight into this, so I do appreciate the input. I mean, I personally would be very happy to try something like that this summer, whether, I mean, the full closure in that section or a one-lane thing, whatever we decide. Personally, I sort of the mind of let's try it. It seemed to work last summer. And I think the future is a need for more pedestrian space. I think that is the way of the future.
I'm sorry, I have to go on to anyway.
Thank you so much for coming.
I appreciate it.
So,
thank you.
So back to the legislation. Do we want to put, I think there's a lot of discussion about closings and where the food trucks are going to go. Is this something we pass the legislation as it's written here with updates about the fees and the criminal stuff and then discuss later where the food trucks are going to go? What do you guys think? There seems to be an ask from the DSA to get this passed before the next record, which then would require getting signed up with the software and all that, right?
It's for this to be in effect, that infected four.
The May one? I was thinking that, yeah, that's kind of what it seemed like to me.
Like, what's the timeframe? Like, suppose we, like, from the time we pass it to the time you have the packet and the decal and the license, like, what's a reasonable timeframe to, once we pass it, to how long we could actually be saying, come on down and sign up?
I think within, if we address this, if we plan on addressing this at the May 3rd meeting, I think we could then have, I mean, people could actually be licensed and ready to go. If they came in the next day, within a 2 week period.
Okay.
But I want to be, our goal is to have this essentially locked down by that May 3rd, so that when you pass the legislation, the next day you can start to accept the applications. I wouldn't want to, I think it's really going to be confusing. We're going to get a lot of phone calls, and if you rush to pass the legislation, the food trucks here in Iowa start making phone calls. We don't have our ducks in a row.
Right.
I think that'll cause some problems. So,
sure.
And so our goal is, our goal is by May 3rd to have everything in box that's ready to go forward.
So would the rest of the committee feel comfortable with the legislation, with the amendments we talked about today involving fines and penalties?
Yes.
Yes.
Brian, how do you feel?
I said yes.
Okay. Lindsay, did you have anything else to add? Anything else you'd like to see there?
Some more about where the locations would be. Is that something that you just want to decide and then we'll see if it works and then we'll talk about
that? It does leave it pretty open-ended. The legislation is written and it says that the service director will designate.
You can set what you can do, maybe a Monday night's meeting, set another committee meeting the week before.
Then we can have the final legislation, and I can give you a copy of the application packet, and not just promises, but
yes, yes.
So that way you will see everything that we're going to be doing.
Yeah. And maybe, I don't know what committee, if this would stay in this committee or if this would go to streets, but maybe that's a broader discussion about Maplewood and what that can look like this summer. I'm not sure. Maybe we can assess them for that.
Spaces will probably be trial and error too. I mean, because I know that, like, some, like Fall Festival, there were issues with trees too. You know, some of the vendors that had tall things, you couldn't place them where there were trees. So it's going to be just a trial and error on what's going to work.
The consistency of enforcing the spots is going to be something that will have to be negotiated. Since right now our attitude on things is here's what the rule is, but we're probably not going to get in trouble if you break it, most likely, right? But with the food truck spot, that becomes a larger issue because not only is it inconvenience for people who are patrons in downtown, but it also is a negative for a food truck who then lost an hour and a half of selling food at prime time. So I don't know if that means we start getting more consistent with enforcing the rules in the downtown area, or if we just kind of adapt to it, but I think that's going to be something that we'll have to pay attention to. I don't think there's an answer right now, but it does seem like that's one of the conflict points.
And there may be some, you know, sitting here kind of thinking, and it may be something that when we put the signs up that we say, you know, reserve for food trucks 4 to 8, there may be a second sign, if you will, that indicates, you know, in effect or not in effect or something. And if we have a reserve, it's just a matter of going for the sign down. So now it won't. That one take care of the last minute reservation that Patrick asked about. They still get the day on those, but for somebody that reserves a day or two or a week in advance, you know, maybe it's something that we can let Parker know that, you know, don't worry about this, or yeah, stay out or something.
I'll kind of take a look. I mean, we're not the first place to take a look at this, so we'll kind of take a look at some other places. I give my kids crap all the time for going to Google all the time, but Google is a stressor.
A lot of things I don't keep in my head because I know I can find it.
Okay, so do you need a motion, or what action do we need legally here?
Nothing. It sounds like we're just going to take, based on, if you want to do a recommendation to, about the penalty provision and modify the legislation as discussed, and then at Monday's meeting, we can set another committee meeting.
Okay, so make...
Yeah. Are you going to make it an agenda item and distribute to the rest of council this committee's recommendation, but not act on it Monday night? Is that the plan?
That, no, that was, I think Patrick can make the report on Monday.
Okay.
And then prior to the committee meeting, I will get everybody the revised legislation.
After?
Yes, after Monday's meeting. Okay. Yep.
So there'll be a report on the agenda of this committee meeting?
Yep.
Yeah, and the one we had last week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So make a motion to instruct the administration to update the legislation to include the changes we discussed about penalties for the food truck legislation.
Second.
The move is seconded. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion is passed. There's been a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Nope. And the meeting is adjourned at 10:50.